First of all, I should tell you a little bit about myself. I'm Father Frank Richardson, retired from the Archdiocese a couple of months ago. And I'm from Ireland, as you probably gather from my accent. Not a Georgia one, like y'all come and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I'm one of 15 children, and there's 10 of us left, thank God. So it's I'm the only one in the family that became a priest, so I don't know. Anyway, say no more. Say no more. But getting to this beautiful gospel, this very colorful and visual gospel, and it raises interesting questions, at least a half a dozen of them. For starters, why did Zacchaeus climb the sycamore tree? The first answer that comes to mind is that he was, as the gospel notes, short and couldn't see over the crowd. But it's only part of the answer. Remember, Zacchaeus is not only a tax collector on behalf of the occupying Romans and considered a betrayer of his nation and a despicable thief. But he is listed as the chief tax collector, which puts him beyond the pale. So he is in danger from the crowd should they recognize him. So to avoid being seen and beaten up, he gets out of their way and climbs a tree to hide among its branches. The second question: why did he want to see Jesus in the first place? The first answer that comes to mind is that he was curious. Jesus was a minor celebrity, a wonder worker, so he heard. And Jesus happened to be passing through his hometown, Jericho, and so naturally, curiosity drove Zacchaeus. But that's only part of the answer. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, not merely in the sense of sighting Jesus, but he probably wanted to assess who this man really was. He must have hesitated and maybe decided that it wasn't such a good idea after all. What if the crowd saw him and ridiculed him? What if Jesus detoured another way? What if he turned out to be nothing? He may have said to himself, better to be safe than sorry and stay put. Well, thank heaven, what might have been wasn't, and Zacchaeus finally made his decision and climbed that tree. He had heard Jesus preach, saw his compassion, his kindness to those in need, and he was captivated by what he saw. It changed his life. The third question: what happened next? Well, anyone who goes through all that trouble deserves more than a passing glance. And so the tables are turned. Zacchaeus sees Jesus. Now Jesus sees Zacchaeus. He looks up and calls him by name. You know, this calling by name is a rare occurrence and happens only once or twice in the Gospels. And then Jesus tells him to come down among the hostile crowd, and so with hesitation he does. Then Jesus boldly tells Zacchaeus that he's just invited himself to his house to break bread. The fourth question: what about that unfriendly crowd? They remain unfriendly. They start to murmur all over the place. The gist of the murmuring is that their hero has gone to eat at the house of a sinner. But Jesus corrects them and reminds them that even Zacchaeus too is a descendant of Abraham, that he too is a child of promise in spite of what he might have done or the life he has lived. The fifth question: what happened next? Zacchaeus proclaims his innocence. I don't think I have, but if I have extorted anything from anyone, I will repay them several times over. Whatever the case, Jesus reminds the murmuring crowd that he has come to seek and save those who are lost. Lost here does not mean damned, but means in the wrong place. And Zacchaeus was certainly there and in the right place with Jesus. Now, the final and most significant question: what does this story mean to us? Let me suggest an answer by way of another story, short one. John Greenleaf Whittier wrote one of the most quoted poems in the English language. The poem was entitled, they knew it at the last Mass, Maud Miller. No, some of you may have heard of it. There are two lines that most people remember. Maud Miller is about a young maiden who, while working in the fields one day, sees a handsome young judge riding on a horseback. She offers him a cool drink of water. Their encounter lasts only a few minutes, but it makes a deep impression on both of them. Maud is greatly attracted to the judge, and she dreams of marrying someone of his gentleness and integrity. She could leave the fields behind and live as the wife of a wealthy and powerful man. At the same time, the judge is attracted to Maud. He is tired of his career, and he dreams of marrying a woman, a warm, compassionate woman like Maud. But neither Maud nor the judge acknowledge their attraction for each other. They are from different social classes. Anyway, Maud later marries a man who brings her much pain and hardship. The judge also enters into a loveless marriage. And in the final stanza of the poem, Whittier offers us this famous warning. Okay, this is a trivia one now. Do you know? Oh, I'll give you a clue. For all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these. Who said that? It might have been. It might have been. And one of the things about the Zacchaeus story we saw is that he finally set his jaw and took the plunge. He decided to take the risk. Not knowing what he might encounter, he dared to go out in public to see, embrace, follow Jesus, and discover a new way of life. So, what does this gospel mean to you and I? Because we are in the story, always on the verge of commitment, always close to the decisive act, the heroic deed, the real holiness to which we feel attracted, but like Zacchaeus, hesitant to embrace. Why? The truth is what haunts us, and it haunted Zacchaeus. We fear going out on a limb. And all because you decided to go to church, all because you decided to join a prayer group, all because you pray often, all because you won't take drugs or do things that hurt people, all because you won't talk dirty talk, and all because you have become a member of the parish and you're working with St. Vincent de Paul, all because you love God and show it, all because you don't want to have to say at the end of your life, it might have been, if only I had answered the call, the impulse to see Jesus Christ. So, my friends, the Zacchaeus story winds up challenging us to go out on a limb. It is in the last analysis and the story, and its message is, beware of the might have been and embrace the words of St. Paul. Who's going to help me here? Beware of the might have been and embrace the words of St. Paul. Now is the acceptable time. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. Now is the acceptable time.